Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob, Pete, and good old Davey Boy Sats try to come to grips with Tarasenko's injury. Are the Sharks shot, or do they have hidden value Tuesday against the Bees? Best bets, DFS plays, chirps, the whole bit.
What's good, everybody? Jensen Reese, Davey Satriano in the house, breaking down this Tuesday night slate. What's going on, guys?
Not too much. Feeling a little bit better today. And Davey, I see you got a nice fresh cut for the show today.
Fresh cut, fresh shave. You know, I'm ready to clean slate. We had bad performance last week, so we'll try something new.
And guys, we touched on it on Monday's show briefly because we didn't know the severity of it, but Vladimir Tarasenko out 5 months. That's a potential season changer for the defending champs. What is your reaction from a fantasy standpoint regarding the length and timetable of Tarasenko's injury?
Well, it's catastrophic for every position on the Blues, including their defenseman, their goalie, Jordan Binnington. I mean, this is a major loss that you simply cannot replace. That being said, to put a forward spin on it, I would say that David Perron becomes a must-own player. He should get first power play time now consistently.
Braden Schenn has, what, 8-9 goals? I mean, he's been stepping up since he got that contract extension. And the Blues, they're one of those teams where they definitely have the depth on forward. You know, Fabry's a guy who's always scratched a lot. They always have healthy guys scratched. So there's definitely room there for some guys. You mentioned Perron. There's other guys, third, fourth line guys, who can step up there and get fantasy relevant.
And do we like Robert Thomas, like, in terms of a long-term add, a guy that you could add now? He might still be playing on the third line, second power play for the time being, but maybe someone over the course of the season that you think will get a top six trial and or first power play? I would go on and take a stab at him in a deep league right now.
That's exactly it. It's all about the deeper league. I think Robert Thomas is a player that's available in a ton of those leagues. And you've got to hit a home run like that to have a chance to capture waiver wire glory. And Robert Thomas is definitely your guy.
You know, I don't think that they're going to go outside the organization here to try to fill someone that role with a trade, because Armstrong didn't do that last year. He kept the team the same, and he knows the players he has. So I think you're right. If you're a Tarasenko owner, Thomas is a guy that he's available. Why not pick him up for 3-4 months?
Robert Thomas, good player. Probably could fill the role a little bit. My main concern with him is he has two first names, and those sorts of players I like to steer clear of.
I technically have first two names, you know, Rob Reese, depending on how you look at Reese.
Fair enough.
He's got a singer's name, though, right?
That's why I don't trust you, Robbie. Exactly why I don't trust you.
The Blues are a little unwell right now. But, yes. Yeah, I think that the St. Louis Blues also – so in our top 100 forward rankings, which came out yesterday, we added in David Perron. We also added in Jaden Schwartz. But do you have any concern about Schwartz and Schenn losing their beloved line mate? And would you sell high on Braden Schenn right now? Because I know you can. There's an opportunity to do so.
I'm inclined to say no, only kind of going off what Davey said a little bit earlier. It's just that this contract extension for him has seemed to make the difference in terms of, like, mental sanity, I guess. And he's just been producing at such a lights out rate that I would have a hard time, you know, if I had him so far, he'd be my best player through 2 or 3 weeks here of the season. I'd have a real hard time getting rid of him.
Schwartz is the guy that I would be looking to sell here if I had, because I think it affects him more. We saw what happened last year. His regular season wasn't strong. You know, he had 9-10 goals, whatever it was, in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This year he's had some spurts, but I think Schenn is going to be just fine. Schwartz might struggle a little, so he's a guy that I would trade right now if I could.
And in terms of outside replacements, are you guys leaning any certain way? I would have a clean leaning and go for either one of those two the Blues guys that we mentioned, Schwartz or Perron. If you go out of house, look for James Van Riemsdyk. I think there's a good opportunity for him again on Tuesday night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if he sticks in the top six, you know what this guy can do if he's on third line first power play. If he's top six or top line first power play, the ceiling is very high for JVR.
His shot volume is everything that you want in fantasy. And the Flyers look like they have some good sneaky appeal this year. Just wait till their power play starts clicking. JVR can get even more points. So I agree with you, Pete. I'm all in on this JVR train.
You guys have any outside replacements, Davey?
You know, I haven't really looked that far into it because I am not a Tarasenko owner, but the Flyers are a team. And actually, you know, I know the Red Wings are struggling right now, but they have some players too that, I mean, look, their second line players, their third line players, they're going to need to score. They're cheap. They're available. So I'm looking at the Red Wings to turn it around too. So some of those guys I would pick up if I needed.
And I would say Kevin LeBanc is a guy, San Jose Sharks, mm-hmm. if he's available in your league. The power play coverage is going to be, honestly, it could be similar to what Tarasenko would do over a full season for power play points. Obviously not power play goals, but look at Kevin LeBanc. I mean, that Sharks team, as we know, has concerns on the back end. That's nothing new there. But offensive-wise, definitely take a shot with LeBanc.
I like LeBanc. He has goals, I think, in three straight games, and he was just moved to a different line. He's with Logan Couture now. But either way, it seems like he's going to be with Couture or Hurdle, which is a really good spot. So the Sharks actually face the Bruins, and at this point in the season, with Pasternak leading the NHL in goals and points, can you roster a DFS lineup without this guy at this point?
I think the smart thing to do, take the whole top line, and then whoever else you get, you get. You're probably mm-hmm. still going to finish in the money. I mean,
especially
really,
against
those
the
guys.
Sharks, right?
Well, they have 13 points the other night against the Rangers, so mm-hmm. that was impressive. You know, they're good for two or three. They're good for multi-points games every night. I agree with you. There's no reason not to roster them.
Well, I'm going back to the well here. I actually have Patrice Bergeron as my center play tonight. Nice. What's funny, though, is I couldn't get the whole top line in my lineup price-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I opted for Bergeron and Marchand. Again, like, I've had this conversation with people on Twitter. Like, how can you choose Marchand over Pasternak? I simply don't know. Mm-hmm. It defies all logic, but it's like the definition of insanity. I keep doing it over and over and over and expecting something else to happen.
Marchand has a bunch of points in a row. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of these three. The prices are very steep now. 9,100, tops in the contest among skaters for Pasternak. But on the Sharks side, is there any appeal here for this game? Is this going to be a continuation of the Bruins' success and the Sharks' woes, which it looks like on paper?
I think the Bruins are going to win this one. However, if you want to do a little contrarian style and go with Martin Jones or whoever's playing for the Sharks, if somehow he gets a win and allows a goal or two, you might be in good position there. But yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Man.
But, you know, that could be a contrarian play if you want to go against the grain.
I mean, that is so far beyond the definition of a contrarian. I think it falls into the, like, completely off the face of the earth category.
I was going to say there's contrarian and then there's completely insane. And with the way the Sharks are playing right now and the goal output, I just don't see it. But Davey Boy, again, he can kind of see things that others don't. So maybe he's onto something, but more likely he should be committed to a mental hospital.
Well, okay. Poor Davey, I'll come bail you out. But I think the thing with the Sharks is if we do like them for against the grain value, I would tap into their offense. I would not tap into their goalie just because Martin Jones hasn't been playing well. Aaron Dell hasn't been playing well. I mean, they need to make a trade this year to address that position. So if we do like the Sharks as a little road spot here, I'd get some forwards in there. I'd get LeBanc in there. Maybe a little Joe Thornton revenge game, even though it's been, 15 years since he's been on the Sharks now.
And look, he's playing wing right now.
He's playing wing. So look for guys like that to get some points for San Jose.
And new top line for the Sharks, actually. Evander Kane, Hurdle, and Timo Meier. Timo Meier's only like 5,400. So whether it's LeBanc or Meier or both, I think there's some nice appeal there.
And for Washington, Toronto tonight, I had a question for the roundtable here about Ilya Mikheyev mm-hmm. in season-long formats. He's been one of the most added players over the past 2 weeks. Now, he's playing on the second line right now with Mitch Marner. Is there any concern about his stay? I mean, I guess is there concern when Zach Hyman comes back to the lineup or when JT comes back to the lineup that his line mates could change? Or is that a player you'd still pick up regardless?
I think Mikheyev is earning a top six role. He's been playing in the top nine. He has all 10 of his points in 13 games at even strength, which is really encouraging. He's been more consistent than Kapanen, than Janssen, than Kerfoot. And Hyman, I mean, Hyman has been a staple on that line with Tavares and mm-hmm. Marner, but I think there's an opportunity for the Maple Leafs to mix and match and try to get Mikheyev the top six usage that he deserves. So I'm actually trending towards picking Mikheyev up over those three other players that I mentioned based on what I've seen in terms of consistency.
Babcock is one of those coaches where he gives these guys opportunities, and if they perform well, even if injured guys come mm-hmm. back, he doesn't bring them out of the lineup.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I agree with you. He's playing well. I don't know if it matters necessarily who he will be playing with, but he's a guy that, I would add for sure.
And I think we get so bent out of shape about this power play exposure for the Leafs a lot of the time, but that team at even strength has another gear to reach too. And when JT comes back, he's a very productive even strength player over the past couple seasons. So I think Mikheyev is a guy that if he's available on the waiver wire and you have a forward that's not playing so well, I think you make the switch now.
And honestly, if you have an IR spot open right now and you can pick up Zach Hyman, considering he has a good chance of landing in the top six and he covers hits and he's a good even strength point producer, just pick him up and stash him. I did it the other day with David Krejci, who's kind of on the mend. We don't know when he's going to come back, hopefully soon. But that league like counts faceoffs, and I know that he provides what I need when he comes back. So I went ahead and added him and just stashed him on IR for a couple of weeks.
For our general DFS picks tonight on NHL.com/fantasy, we have Michael Kempney in as a cheap value play in this game. Do you like it, Davey?
I do like it. I watched them a lot this year. I mean, it seems that we know the Carlson, the Ovechkin, those guys are scoring, but he's been doing well. I mean, and for the price point too, he's going to chip in there. So I do like that. That's a good pick.
He's paired with Carlson. I mean, you could even go crazy here. You could stack Carlson and Kempney and not worry about the defense position. Mm-hmm. Is that a crazy idea for DFS?
I kind of like that. In fact, speaking of that whole strategy, I'm imploring this new strategy again, Davey, I think because I'm riding a little bit of a coldie right now in my DFS lineup. So I'm actually trying a new double defenseman strategy where I take two super elite defensemen, one in Roman Josi and one in Dougie Hamilton, and just see if maybe their category coverage with the blocks too and the shots gets me a little bit higher in the standings. I don't know. It's pretty against the grain, but it's something I want to try.
And you can go middle of the road, right? Middle tier guys, like in the 6,000 range. And you could probably have like 6,000 for almost every player in your lineup, including the defenseman. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not a bad look for Robbie's lineup.
I like Dougie Hamilton. I have him too tonight. He has, I think, points in 9 of 11 games. Mm-hmm. I also shouldn't have opened my mouth and told Rob Reese that I was looking that I was looking to add him, but I had no room for him because a week later, what do I see on the transaction? Robbie picked him up right out from under
I'm
me.
I'm a so shark, man. I'm a shark.
Was,
damn.
That hurt. That hurt.
Exactly why you can't trust the guy with, like Robbie said, two first names, Rob Reese. Again, just something to keep in mind, people.
Well, big shout out to Davey for putting me onto the Dougie Hamilton move because that is the only thing keeping my team in the week-to-week matchups right now. So big ups to Davey. In the Calgary-Carolina game, though, I do like revenge from the other side of the ice, too. I like Elias Lindholm. I think he put up maybe 4 points against the Hurricanes last year. I love those little contrarian storylines. And when I've got action on a player like that in the DFS lineup, I always kind of root harder for them in the game, too.
I like Carolina's top line and scoring output a lot more than I like Calgary's these days. I mean, they lost a low-scoring game in that Heritage Classic. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Mrazek is a good play here. I saw he's only 7,400 coming off a shutout. That's really low. You could spend up elsewhere and roster him. I mean, he gets the wins more often than not, so he's my goalie of the night for the Hurricanes against the Flames, whose top line has not been very good so far.
I think Calgary's players are probably pretty cheap, right, or cheaper than usual, just because the first month of the season they've been struggling. So, Robbie, I think you're right. I know you have the revenge game, but if you want someone on Calgary there, you can probably get them for, you know, $500, $600, whatever dollars cheaper than usual, and, you know, could be a good return, and ROI.
ROI, I love the term. We're business insiders here. And to Pete's point, too, I'm not ready to commit to stacking the Calgary top guys yet until we see more from them. So that's why I like getting the exposure through a guy like Lindholm. Another interesting storyline here, we have Tony DeAngelo locked in on the top power play for the Rangers over Jacob Trouba. Interesting trend in both DFS and season long. DeAngelo's got like 5 points or something in his past 4 games. Guy's absolutely on fire. Is that a player that you'd round out your DFS lineup tonight, or is the matchup too difficult against Tampa Bay?
He can score. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I watched him in person the other day. I've seen him, on TV a bunch of times this year, scoring sometimes garbage points even, but it doesn't matter in fantasy. I probably wouldn't roster him. If I'm taking a defenseman in that game, I'm going all over Kevin Shattenkirk. I know he's 5,400, not cheap, but there's some serious revenge. You think he'll be out for blood in that game from a scoring standpoint, probably get on the board. So if you can bank on a defenseman to score a point for 5,400 like I can tonight, I think I would roster him.
I have Shattenkirk too, and just going back to DeAngelo tonight, not a bad play. Season long, not a good play because we know Quinn throws his guys. He's the most blender coach of all time, I think, even more than Quenneville. This guy, if you have one bad shift, you're on the third line or you're benched. I mean, so tonight's a good play for DeAngelo, but it'll probably be a game or two before he's knocked out of that position.
It's very frustrating to watch the line blender coaches, because especially for fantasy owners, like, you've got a guy like Kako and you want him to start producing. Well, he can't produce playing 10 minutes a night. Mm-hmm. And then he plays 17 minutes a night and he's a dash four. So it's kind of a topsy-turvy situation. I know we spoke about it a little earlier, Davey. You're starting to lean on the side of dropping Kako too in season long now?
Yeah, I was looking this morning to do it. I just couldn't find anyone else to pick up. But I'm going to look into that later, because I can't deal with this anymore. I mean, he's a minus – I don't even know what he is now. It's
minus
double
11,
digits.
Yeah.
He's not scoring. He's not doing much. I don't even think I could trade him. So at this point, I'm just going to cut loose and pick up someone else up.
I would say it's worth another week and wait until the right player is out there. Don't drop this guy for a JT Comfort. Drop him for, you know, when someone cuts the cord on, like, maybe Kyle Palmieri or someone who can actually play year to year, so, and sustain fantasy production and power play production, that sort of thing. Back to this Tampa Bay Ranger game, though. If Zibanejad is out, I am saying Ryan Strome is a lineup lock on the line with Panarin. I would try to get Shattenkirk into my lineup, but I would also say my other lineup lock from this game is Braden Point. He's been boom or bust so far, but this guy's going to get 2 or 3 points tonight against the Rangers, I think.
And I'm curious to see who starts in net for the Rangers. Probably an interesting storyline for season-long owners, with Hank Lundqvist getting a little impatient there. But turning away from that game and moving on to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, these games are always great for just a general watching perspective. Good news on the injury front, too, for Pittsburgh. Malkin returning this weekend, and Galchenyuk could be in the lineup on Tuesday night.
Yeah, they said game time decision. That's pretty encouraging. Get him into your lineup if you can, especially in season long. That's a weird one. Would you drop Kako for Galchenyuk? I don't know. Maybe I need to see a game or two out of Galchenyuk first.
Need a little more, as you said, out of that before making that decision. But looking at the big board, I'm taking the over in that game. That's where we're going tonight. Those games are always high scoring. Flyers, Penguins. Could be like a 6-5 game, 5-4 game tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that one. Offense will be flowing.
And look for, I guess the Flyers are going back to Brian Elliott again, going back to the well there. So pay attention to that one too, Goalie Master, because Carter Hart, I'm getting a little nervous as an owner over here.
Well, you can't throw Carter Hart into Pittsburgh. I don't care if Malkin's playing. I don't care if anybody's playing. I don't care if they're all out. You can't throw Carter Hart into PPG Paints Arena right now.
That would be a tough spot. What, 3 starts in a row, I think, for Elliott, and he was playing well. So, yeah, Hart, it'll be tough to see him tonight, but he'll bounce back.
Edmonton, Detroit, that has potential to be a bloodbath for McDavid and co. I mean, if Ryan O'Reilly was looking like McDavid against the Red Wings on Sunday night, I can't even imagine what the real thing is going to do. So if you can get him in your DFS lineup, probably a solid play. But for whatever reason, I didn't have that gut feeling to have any of the Oilers in my lineup tonight. I think they've been playing a little bit flat lately. So I just took a pass on that game in general.
I had an interesting dilemma. My first instinct was to roster Draisaitl and Oshie. Oshie going against the Maple Leafs, who give up a lot of goals. But then with this Pastrnak thing, I was thinking, what if I try to get Pastrnak in instead of Draisaitl, and that would leave me with either like JVR or James Neal. I actually haven't had James Neal in my lineup in DFS all year, so maybe first time for everything. He gives you some cheaper exposure to the Oilers, who should romp the Red Wings.
I'm going with one player in this game, and I'm actually going with whoever the Red Wings throw in net. They're going to be cheap. I feel like this could be a wild Oilers situation where I don't think the Oilers are going to get shut out, but I think the Red Wings have lost, what, 7 or 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. I think tonight they win a close one, so I'm going to take Detroit's goalie here, whoever it may end up being.
Wow. I'm stunned here, but I can't start arguing with you. It's first of all too early. I'm under the weather. And third, Dave, you have been right about some of these contrarian plays lately. So you have the track record right now, and I've got nothing to defend myself with.
One guy I like on the Red Wings, though, Tyler Bertuzzi, scored the tying goal the other day very, very quietly, 12 points in 12 games for a top-line player that's producing for the better part of the past few months, even dating back to the end of last year. So I think you got to take Bertuzzi more seriously. I think we moved him up 5 or 10 spots this week in the 100 forward ranks.
Chicago faces Nashville tonight. It's rumored that Roman Josi might be having a big payday here soon to be announced, but we'll see on that front. And it's, in terms of this game alone, I mean, Chicago, they desperately need a statement win. Is it going to happen tonight?
I like Alex DeBrincat for a $6,000-ish price. He's back with Dylan Strome. I know we were talking about Ryan Strome. Both Stromes are fantasy relevant here on this Tuesday night. I think that DeBrincat is a lineup lock going up after a three-point game. He looks re-energized playing with Dylan Strome. Those guys have a history from years back, from last year. They play really well together, even strength and power play. And that also gets Taves back with Kane. So hopefully that offense gets back into form soon.
I'm looking at DeBrincat tonight. He had 3 points. I think he finally had a decent game the other night. So I think maybe that could spur him. And hopefully tonight he puts up a couple points. So he's a guy that I have in the lineup tonight.
And I kind of just like the road appeal of Chicago here. Again, I'm not sure exactly what it is making me lean that way, but I think seeing those guys start to click a little bit, get some line stability there, and then, like you mentioned, have the top two guys together and then the second line, Strowman, to bring it together. I just like that moving forward for them.
Well, this is a contingency plan. How about if Duchesne and Forsberg are out again? I know they were skating at practice Monday. They may not both come back. Maybe one comes back or neither, but probably not both on Tuesday. So how about if both are out, you take Chicago as the road underdog here against Nashville?
Absolutely. That would be my lock of the night if they both miss.
Ooh, I like it. I like that pick, Robbie. And speaking of Blackhawks, we got a fan question. How long of a leash should we still have for Erik Gustafsson? Will he get it going at some point soon? He's got to be nearing dropping out of your top 50 D ranks this week, which are set to come out later today.
He's been plummeting. Him and Shane Gostisbehere each have just been falling down week after week. For Gustafsson, you know, Pete, I would say be patient with him on this one. I would say give this player another week or two, only because Jeremy Colleton has had the lines in a total blender. No one's formed chemistry. And, you know, I don't pretend to be a coach ever. I mean, Davey, I know that you know I'd probably be the worst coach in the league at this point. But Erik Gustafsson is a guy that he needs rhythm. And you can't have any rhythm when the forwards are all playing different lines each and every game. So now that Strowman and DeBrincat are back together, Taves and Kane are back together, give it another week with this player and then see what happens.
I'm an owner of him, and I agree with you. I'm waiting one more week, and if I have nothing there, he's going to go enjoy the waiver wire with Kakko. So they're going to have some fun together out there while I hopefully improve my team.
Looks like Davey did a great job in the draft there.
Very high in drafting, and then I'm going to come along, pick those players up, and then they're going to start playing well. So that's just the way it works in fantasy, unfortunately.
One thing about Gustafsson, like, this power play is bound to get going, right? They were one of the best power play units second half of last season. I can't believe they're tied for 26th right now in power play conversion percentage. That's way too low with all that talent. And once it gets going, Gustafsson should be a part of it.
Well, what's funny, Pete, is that they were last place in power play through the start of last season, through about November 25th or so. And then when Colleton came in, they finished top five in the NHL remainder of the season. So maybe there's just a little bit of a slow start in Chicago. It could happen. We all know what happened. They finished very strong last year, too.
Another game in the Central that jumps out at me is this Wild at Stars game. Just because Zuccarello, who's had a slow start, goes up against his former team, do we see a couple of points out of him to get his season going after that injury for a couple of games? He missed some time.
So on my notes here, I have Minnesota, Dallas. Two words, no thanks. I don't want any players. I don't want anyone. Who knows what's going to happen? Zuccarello, maybe he'll have a point or two, but this is a stay away. This could be an ugly game.
And this is a tough spot for Dallas, too. I mean, Minnesota's been playing a little bit better lately. Erik Staal has emerged on their top line. It's the guy that we've got to know over the past few years. Mm-hmm. And for Dallas, I mean, if they don't win this game, I'm just not quite sure what to make of this team anymore.
Yeah, you know what's sad that I saw? Minnesota has a better points percentage than Dallas so far. That's ugly.
One thing that stood out to me for this game is that in this day and age with the high scoring up and down, the total is set at 5. I can't tell you the last time I saw a total set at 5. With that being said, I don't think they can set it low enough with these two teams. Give me the under 5 tonight. Let's go lasso it. Give me the win.
I like that, Bobby. I think that's a safe play. And going back to the Zuccarello thing, I do like that play tonight. I like anybody playing their former team. And again, going back to last offseason, I'm not sure why Dallas didn't re-sign that player when he seemed to fit in so well with that group.
I know it's he would have brought some stability. He could have played with Hintz on the second line, but we're not going to go ahead and go back in time and hope for different things. I think for Dallas, we've talked so much ad nauseum about whether or not to have patience with Ben Klingberg, Radulov. But to me, I was on the verge of dropping Joe Pavelski out of the top 100 forwards this week. should you cut the cord on this player? He's older. He's not meshing well right now. He only has like 3 or 4 points on the season. I mean, we're talking about Mikhaev has 10 points and Joe Pavelski only has 3 or 4. Cut the cord? What do you think?
I have Pavelski, and I'm really worried here that if I do cut the cord with him, he's going to burn me. So I'm kind of holding on to him. He's had slow starts in the past. We know what he's capable of, 20, 30 goals. And when you look at Dallas's lines, they're having Ben Sagan and Radulov are all playing on different lines for, what, a week now? So that's kind of something we're not used to seeing. Maybe Pavelski can find his rhythm with one of them. So I'll hold on to him for now.
Davey, I just have to laugh. This is like the fourth player that we've mentioned that you have, that we're talking about dropping, that you have on your roster. Davey, I love you, but clearly the draft strategy, as we speak today, has not been a good one.
I think we do, the fans deserve of this program, a full rundown of your fantasy team, just so we get like a full picture of this thing, because at this point, I mean, there's only a couple spots left, Davey. There can't be that many good players on the team.
This is probably across 2 or 3 teams, so let's not overreact. But yes, there are some players that I should cut the cord with.
Okay, fair enough.
So I would say watch the Dallas game tonight. Hopefully they can break out of this little funk they're in. But again, no action in that game. I do, however, have my goalie of the night in John Gibson of the Anaheim Ducks. I love the Ducks at home. I love Gibson at home against the Winnipeg Jets, a little depleted, so I like that play.
One thing about the Jets, it's really strange. We haven't seen it in recent years. This degree of a slump from, like, especially Blake Wheeler, no points in his past 6 games. Mark Scheifele's been down, no goals in his past 4 games. I saw the Jets' 5-on-5 shooting percentage is 2nd worst in the NHL, only ahead of Detroit. So is there bounce-back appeal, Davey, for Patrick Laine, Scheifele, Wheeler, any of these guys?
You know, they had that big overtime win in the Heritage Classic the other night. I think Anaheim's going to come out and win this game. We talked about it before the season. I know Pete, you, and I think maybe Rob, and I almost did, but I put Winnipeg in the playoffs, but I said they're, you know, wild card. I don't think either of you guys had them in, so you guys kind of expected this, right, to see them struggling a bit like this?
It was just too much turnover on the blue line.
Yeah, and they're doing weird things with the lines. Like Kyle Connor the past few years was an absolute staple on the top line, and they've tried Laine there. They've tried Ehlers there multiple times. Little's back now, so hopefully they can find some continuity. But if that offense isn't going, they have no chance to make the playoffs. I'm sorry to say that.
But even with Little, I mean, producing the way he is, that team isn't a contender. I mean, Brian Little has never really made that team a contender. That's why I liked when they went out and got Paul Stastny. It seemed like that was the right move for them. But I have a lot more concerns than Brian Little and their defense right now. Everything just seems jumbled up.
And moving on to my picks for tonight in order, I like Ryan Strome and Braden Point from the Ranger Lightning game. Could be a lot of goals there. David Pastrnak, I will go with the hot hand. And then I will touch in to the Edmonton offense with James Neal for the first time this season. Still a very moderate price point for a guy who's 2nd in the league in goals with 10, 5,900 for him. Alex DeBrincat on the road in Nashville. I have 2 Red Wings in my lineup, surprisingly. Tyler Bertuzzi, 5,300, point-a-game player so far. And Philip Hronek has points, I think, in 3 of his past 4 games and playing on the first power play, only 3,900. So really good price point there. Tyson Barrie, bounce back spot, has had a high shot volume for the Maple Leafs. I know he's going up against Washington, but if it's Holtby, he's been shaky in certain starts. I think Barrie gets on the board here. And then Peter Mrazek has a chance to have another low scoring output here for his Carolina Hurricanes. 7,400, can't beat that price for a top goalie like that for a contending team.
So I have Ryan Getzlaf here. I know it's a late game, so Robbie's not going to be watching, but Winnipeg, Anaheim, Getzlaf, and Howla. They're on 6,000 and under for 2 centers. That's a pretty good price. Wings, I got Blake Wheeler. We talked about Timo Meier and Alex DeBrincat. Defense, I like Hamilton and Shattenkirk. And for goalie, I'm going to either go with Howard or Bernier, whoever Detroit throws out there tonight.
Interesting. I've got my center is Patrice Bergeron. My wing is Elias Lindholm. My D is Dougie Hamilton. And my goalie is Johnny Gibson.
The time has come. Best bets for a Tuesday night in the NHL. We'll start with Peter.
I will say the over in the Tampa Bay Ranger game. I think by picking, we're talking about Tony DeAngelo, we're talking about Ryan Strome. Even if Zibanejad doesn't play, the Rangers have a chance to score 2 or 3 on the Lightning. And the Lightning, like the Bruins did the other day, have a chance to drop maybe a touchdown at the Garden.
I'm going with the Blackhawks tonight. I like a statement game for them on the road.
over Pittsburgh-Philly. We already mentioned it. Under Winnipeg-Anaheim. Gibson could get a shutout, I think, tonight. Winnipeg's just struggling. I think it could be 2-1. It could be 1-0. So I'm going the under in that game.
Bobby?
Well, boys, I'm looking at the board, and some weeks, some days, it's just it's tough to pinpoint exactly what game I like. But I'm going to go. I told you. I said it earlier. A number
right?
can't be set low enough between Dallas and Minnesota.
I
haven't seen a total at 5 since, I can't even remember, 2010, it seems like. Give me the under in that game.
Bobby, I like the pick. I like the logic. We actually just got some breaking news hot off the press that Gabriel Landeskog is out indefinitely with a lower body injury. This is a guy that plays with McKinnon and Rantanen. And Rantanen's out. Landeskog's out. What does this mean for Colorado?
Well, this is not good for the Avalanche, and Gabe hasn't looked right for a couple weeks, so this could be a little bit serious. I'm not a doctor. We're going to have to consult Dr. Grewal on Twitter. There's a guy that's currently in residence school, med school, for he's trying to become like the pro football doc guy on Twitter, but for hockey. So give this guy a follow, and we'll have to see what he says about the Landeskog injury.
What does it mean? Kadri perhaps got to step it up. There's other guys on the Avalanche. I mean, some of these guys are going to be worth picking up. Donskoy, maybe. We'll see. But, yeah, not good news for Colorado.
The crazy thing is that McKinnon, even without without Landeskog now and Rantanen for the last game, he still is on that torrid point streak, right? 11-game point streak. So it's going to come down to what he can do as an individual. You imagine they're going to break up that second line. Either Burakovsky's going to go up or Eunice Donskoy to join Compher and McKinnon, though.
Do you think, I'll just be devil's advocate here, do you think there's any hope in picking up like a Kadri now that his ice time is probably going to go up a little bit, or any of those depth forwards that you just mentioned? Or should we just stay clear of the situation?
Yeah, Kadri's a good player. He had 2 goals the other day, right?
I watched that game.
I trust him.
I trust him, too. I think he's a good player. He's looking good, and now if he's going to have more ice time with their injury, so he's available, he can help you out for sure.
Davey, I have to ask the question. You do not have Landeskog on your team, hopefully. I just, your snake bit. Just wondering before we wrap up.
I do not own Landeskog on any of my teams, for those wondering. So
dodging bullets. I love it.
I do own McKinnon, though. So, Davey, I think I'll be proposing a trade to you this afternoon that you might like.
It's great. Love it.
I like it. Well, Dave, thanks for hopping on again. Last minute notice, but you're always up to the task, man. Appreciate it.
They don't call him Davey boy for nothing. Sing it with me, Davey. Davey got a new haircut, too. Davey, come on. Give me a little jingle. I know you can do it. Go, 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 go.
Davey's not a singer.
Come on, Davey.
Not a singer.
They don't call him Davey boy for nothing. Sing it along, Robbie. They don't call him Davey boy for nothing. Okay. All right, boys. Very nice.
So if you have any last minute questions that we didn't get to, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese. Pete's at NHL Jensen. And Davey is at David Satriano.
And check out the other podcasts in the podcast network, which will now include the new initiative with Jackie Redman. New podcast called Puck Culture debuts on Wednesday of this week, so go out and support our friend Jackie from NHL Network. And of course, we did mention Cam Atkinson last show, that he might come on today. He's been bumped over to Thursday. That's better for his schedule. So looking forward to talking to Cam on Thursday, and we'll catch you later then. For Bob, Davey, Robbie, and Pete, thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.